This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Info, and this morning I'm joined by one of our candidates for the House District 40 seat, Marilyn Connolly. Hello, Marilyn, how are you?
Good morning, I'm well.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, and I'd just like to go through some questions that may be on voters' minds about your candidacy and why it is you want to run and what the things you want to accomplish when, if you do get elected to this position. So maybe you just tell me, first of all, why now? Why are you running? What attracted you? What's in your mind?
Why do I say I'm the right person right now at the right time?
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like we are in real unrestful times. And I believe that we've got some big challenges ahead of us. Number one main challenge is our funding streams that we have to look at and be able to manage our budgets both on the state level and our local level. I feel like I'm a good person for this race because I've lived the culture around here. I've been a part of all the bust and booms that have happened over the years that affected our House District 40 financially. And I have the skill sets to manage grants, budgets, large projects, knowledge on federal land planning processes that I think will help us with the challenges that we have ahead of us. I also want to promote a healthier, more robust debate on bills because I feel like bills need to be able to get on the floor and be debated. We have things that happened last year that some of the bills probably didn't get out, but probably because it was a budget session. But I also think it's vital that we keep what we have here sacred. It's a very special place. There's no place else like it. I raised my kids here, and I was raised around here, and I want to try to help keep it that way. Another thing is I want to bring some positive attitude toward to the legislature because I think, there's endless opportunities in Wyoming. We have our traditional industries and businesses, but we have opportunities here that could really further Wyoming's future for our in technology especially. So I believe we've got to kind of regain our frontier spirit and work to continue to make life good here. So like I said, I believe I'm the right person right now to advocate and fight for our small communities, Story, even our Arvada, Claremont, Casey, Buffalo, because they have to have somebody in the House District 40 that will support them as well. So, like I said, I'll step up, stand up, and help our greatest resource, which I think in our district is the people.
So, are there any particular experiences or qualifications that you have that you would like voters to know about that make you the standout candidate for this role? You were a former county commissioner.
I was county commissioner here for two terms, served on numerous boards. Biggest one, you know, is Rural Health Care District Board, and I think I've been on that for a lifetime. but it's been a good experience, and I've learned a lot. And there's money there to be managed, and I've been on the Buffalo Senior Center Board for, I think it was 5 years, to help bring that when I got on that board, the senior center was in kind of a crisis. And so there was two or three of us on there that kind of took the reins and got the senior center back on some stable foundation.
And of course, our community is skewed older and older than even most of Wyoming, which is also mm-hmm. skewed older, more seniors yeah. live in our population. So you have a perspective from that.
It's really important to me to take care of our seniors and to help be able to keep our seniors in our community and in their home if possible. You know, we took care of our mom and stuff when she was very ill, and it's really important to keep those people in our communities. We don't ship them out somewhere, you know.
So you mentioned that, you know, you've been in this community for a long time. You feel that you are very embedded in it and that you understand it well. We have seen transition in the last few years with a lot of people moving in from other places across the US for a multitude of different reasons. How do you think you would be able to represent their values and needs and wishes and ideas compared to those of lifelong Wyomingites?
Well, I don't really see it as a problem. I mean, they're here because they want to be here, and they came here because they like what we are, the old forefathers and people that have been here forever, created. So I don't see it being a problem representing people that come in. I've had some really good conversations with folks, and I think they want to be here for the same reason that we are here. We just have to work together to keep what we have.
And working together is an important factor in actually being able to achieve and accomplish change legislatively. You're a conservative candidate. You're standing in the Republican primary election. How do you describe your brand of conservatism?
My brand. It's very grassroots. And I think maybe I can just paint a picture. So I remember being about 13, 14 years old, living on the Bird Farm Road, having a conversation with my dad, who was like really, really conservative Republican, having real problems with the fact that Sheridan County was going to start doing subdivision regulations, zoning regulations. And our conversation was, well, what about our private rights? What about people that own this property? They should be able to do with their property what they want to do with it. And my question was, well, Dad, well, why doesn't somebody work to either promote it or stop it? Where are the people that don't want this? He goes, well, you know, people just don't want to get involved. And I was like, well, that's wrong. So from that point on, I've always been like, right's right, wrong's wrong, and we've got to take care of our private rights as well as our, I'm big on taking care of our water rights and stuff. So conservatism to me means having those philosophies and ideals that protect our culture.
So the Wyoming Republican Party is divided at the moment and increasingly fractured, and there are two groups whose names get thrown about, the Wyoming Freedom Caucus and then the confusingly equally named the Wyoming Caucus. The latter group is maybe a bit looser. Mm-hmm. Do you align yourself with either one of those?
No. I haven't been around enough to even decide to align myself with one of them. Here's what I say about that. In the Sudan, they have a saying that two warring elephants do nothing but kill the grass. So we have two, in my opinion, two warring elephants here. We have the Freedom Caucus group, and we have the other, whatever it's called, group. They're all Republicans. And what's happening is they're warring with each other. They're going head to head. And the only thing that I see is happening is that the grass is getting torn up. And it's affecting the grassroots people. We can't have that. We've got to have, I think, some conflict or, differing ideas is a good thing. You've got to have that. They didn't create the Constitution with everybody agreeing. It was a messy process. So I think it's good to have those two entities, but not to the point where you're fighting so bad that the grassroots gets affected by it.
And voters, indeed, all across the nation are saying that they are weary of the infighting and the division. It causes them to want to tune out. They don't want to get it. They don't want to listen to anything about politics. They're not engaged. It also dissuades good candidates for standing to run for offices too. So you could argue that it actually lowers the bar even further. How do you think you could work to overcome what is already divided and fractious? And how? What could you do to contribute to building unity?
Well, I'm a big advocate of just talking and listening. Just listen to folks. And I think I could be hopefully a positive attitude to the legislature, kind of a refreshing attitude. And I think the only way to do that is to listen. Not be so sold on that you're so 100% right that you can't listen to somebody else's opinions and thoughts and walk away cordially.
That actually speaks to my next question, which is about property tax reform, which remains an unresolved issue for the whole state. And in Johnson County, you know, we are been burdened, homeowners have been burdened with very high property taxes, and there is no meaningful relief right now. No one individual can bring about legislative change. It takes collaboration and consensus. What measures do you support to bring property tax relief to homeowners across the state?
Well, I first of all, I think they worked really hard to try to do something to help. I don't know that it went far enough. It's hard to criticize or anything when you're not sitting right there in those seats. But I had an idea, and I don't know if it would work or not, but I think we need to look at, I think they do it in Texas maybe, it's called tax compression. And the biggest share of our property taxes are schools. And if there was a way that we could look at, we constitutionally have to fund the schools, but if there was a way we could look at pulling some of the school maintenance costs or things like that, putting them in a different pool, and take that cost out of what, I don't know, maybe it's a mill of what the school district gets, but look at some kind of creative thing like that, then that would help lower property taxes. I've always thought, and I don't know if it's a good idea or not either, but I've always thought that it seems like we should pay our taxes on, if we're going to pay taxes, pay it on our property, on what we paid for it, not on the system that we currently have where someone moves into your neighborhood the way they do their assessments and raise everybody's property taxes. Seems to me that we need to work on, is there a way to do that? Because, so those are two ideas I had.
There is an idea which has been floating around, and some people who may be listening may have signed a petition to get on the ballot to reduce property taxes by 50% across the state. Is that an initiative that you support?
I haven't signed the petition. I don't discount it. I mean, I think it's worth looking at. I think anything's worth looking at. So whatever we would need to do, whether that be a bill drafted to put that into debate down there, I'm good with it.
Thank you. So moving on, housing is another significant issue, and it's a big challenge in Johnson County, especially because we've seen a lot of people want to move in, and there are less homes available, and there are higher prices. Many employers report that it's making it difficult for them to find enough people to join their workforce because of the high cost of housing and living. And this is a Wyoming problem, but I think we're feeling it more acutely in our little corridor here. What solutions do you have that might address this issue?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind on the housing issue is that everybody says low housing, low income housing, whatever, but that's kind of subjective. So what I think is, when we first got the Wyoming Business Council, they had some community grants available to develop things, but they didn't. You couldn't use them for infrastructure. You could get a grant at that time to build a park to bring business, but I think what we need to do, so we need to look at, if we're going to do some kind of housing, for example, let's take the vets home. We have the new facility up there, and the hospital needs CNAs, the veteran facility needs CNAs, lower paying jobs that work their hineys off. What if we could find funding to put some housing with those jobs, say like on that state property? It's because you can't get the people into work if you can't provide the housing. So in that case, would maybe that be a good idea? Or can we go and refine the business councils or housing authority folks or whatever it might be, rules and regs, where we could actually build something that functions?
One concern that some people have is that because this is a statewide problem, indeed it's a national problem, that other communities around us may be being more active and looking and be further down the road than us. And how are we going to not lose out? Do you have any thoughts or suggestions on how we get active and so we don't lose out to other communities?
Well, I know we have some folks in our community, in this district, that are really interested in housing projects. Well, I think we just, the electeds and the community need to get behind them. And if they have to form some kind of a local housing authority type thing, we have, the state has their energy authorities, and they're looking at having a health care authority, health service. What if we could do that on a local level and form our own between the city, and it'd be probably mostly city for sure, but city and county, and come up with our own little local housing group and start looking at how we can bring some funding in. I know there's federal money out there, but get the contractors involved and see where it goes. You know, there's property around that could probably be used, but you know, the landowner has to be involved, the contractors have to be involved, the elected officials have to be involved. I just think it'd be a good idea to try that.
Moving on, Wyoming and Johnson County in particular is continuing to experience challenges in meeting mental health care needs for citizens. Mm-hmm. Our suicide rate remains extremely high, and mental health services are struggling to meet the need. What measures do you support to meet the needs of Johnson County community members who may be struggling with poor mental health?
I think we've got to get behind our mental health providers, be there to support them, and not make it a stigma, but bring it forward. And I know there's some, sounds like there's the governor has a group put together for mental health, and I think we need to support that, find out what they're going to come up with, and I believe it's in some of the, might be wrong, but I believe it, it's coming up in some of the interim committee things.
So you believe in putting money behind this as well?
I think we have to. And one of my big things is Title 25. So Title 25...
Could you explain that to people who may not know what Title 25 is?
Title 25 is the statutes that allow for someone with mental health issues or behaviors that are a threat to themselves or someone else to be committed for, I think it's 72 hours. Well, that costs a lot of money, and nobody, you know, we know it from the ambulance service. The ambulance service doesn't get paid for those. The chair, nobody gets paid for them, but the cost to the local community, the county especially, is horrendous because they have to pay for that 72 hours.
I recall the sheriff mentioning the figure of about $10,000 to me for something similar to that.
Yep.
So we're talking large amounts of money.
Yeah, really large amounts of money. And that's where some of this, the mental health and behavior things, I think, need to be addressed. I mean, they reviewed it every once in a while, but I think there's still more that they can do to help fund those things. But we've also got to be able to have places for them to be, too. And so I think getting behind whatever kind of initiative we have for that, I would be right there.
So when you're thinking about taking this seat, what are the three most pressing issues that you want to tackle?
Just three?
Just three.
Well, like I said, when we first started, my first big one is the funding. Keeping the funding streams available for local cities, towns, and counties. Because there is some move out there to try to do something different with that. We've got to have that funding. The other one, of course, property tax is a big one. But we've got to be able to make sure that whatever we do to our property taxes, that people understand that that's what funds all the services in the county. That's what funds the special districts, the ambulance service, the fire districts, senior district, school district,
law enforcement,
road and bridge. It's all comes from the property tax. We get some federal grants and some things like that, but the baseline is that. So whatever we do to try to help our citizens, whether it's 50% less property tax or what it might be, we got to realize, what do we want? Do we want to live with what we have or what we want? And the wants and the needs need to be figured out. Because if you don't want to pay property tax, then you probably don't mind driving on county roads that are not the best shape. Or you might not mind not having a fire truck show up as fast as it could. So, or our hospital district. If you want the hospital care that you need, then you've got to decide. There's got to be a balance there. But so that's a priority. But then, and then my other big one is I want to make sure that we can keep our water rights. And I don't want the federal government overreach coming in and trying to tell Wyoming and House District 40 how they're going to manage their wildlife, how they're going to manage their water, or their natural resources in the county. And that's a big one. So I'll be very proactive on any federal overreach.
And would that be the same if we had an all-Republican federal government?
Good question. It might. Sure could.
Well, thank you. Is there anything else that you would like to voters to know about yourself, your campaign, before we close?
No. Well, yes, there is. I want the voters to know what my philosophy is when I get elected. What makes me function to make my decisions. So I think that's important for voters to know. So my first deal will be to listen to the people. My second one is the Bible, because I base my philosophies on the Bible. I'm a sinner amidst all sinners, but I try to use the Bible as my personal principles to make decisions, okay? And then to use the Wyoming Constitution and the United States Constitution, because we are a republic, a representative republic functioning based on the Constitution. And then finally, the Wyoming Republic Republican platform.
It is unclear what that exactly is at the moment.
It is. It is. And I'm hoping they'll get it finalized. It hasn't changed a whole lot over the years. It's pretty basic, but there are some different opinions on it, and there always is. But
what I've observed is that different individuals are using some of the same words that are associated with traditional conservative values, but they mean slightly different things by them. And I think voters need to be attentive to what is really being meant.
Yes, and it's like anything else. I guess you can interpret it several different ways, but that's my principles, and that's what I will use. And I will be honest and trustworthy and transparent, and I would try to do my very best to communicate back. I don't know, I'm retired, so I have time. I can sit down and have meetings. I like visiting, doing that sort of thing, so I think I can bring kind of a fresh face to the legislature.
Well, thank you very much indeed for your time, and thank you for explaining. Candidate Marilyn Connolly for House District 40. I appreciate you spending some time with 307 Net Info.
Well, thank you for having me.